Small business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions.
Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 79 of Not a Real Job, the podcast that helps you turn the things you love into things that can make you money. I am Chris Van Patten, and I make websites in New York.
And I'm Joe Kelly, and I do marketing way up in Canada.
Feels like it's been a while.
Like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But wait, Chris, we had an episode last week. How did that happen?
Magic.
Magic.
Now, that's magic with a CK. I want to be very clear on that.
What's the difference?
It sounds more Old Englishy.
Is it magic with a J and a CK? Two M's?
Joel, you're taking something very serious and you're mocking it now.
Sorry.
Oh, are you sick?
Yeah, I'm sick.
How'd you get sick?
I traveled a lot on crowded planes with sick people.
Oh, so you have Ebola.
Well, we call it Ebola in Canada, but yeah.
Oh, sure. E-H-bola.
Yeah. A-Ebola.
Ebola.
Yeah, anyway, that's a funny thing to joke about.
Well, did you just say, or did I mishear, you traveled on private planes?
Oh, what? No. God, no.
You didn't say that? Okay.
No, I definitely didn't say that.
Once this episode goes up, I'll have to go back and listen and figure out what I heard.
I don't, I mean, maybe I did say that. It would have been wrong, but maybe I was just trying to make myself sound more important than I am.
I won't lie, I've done that before. So
yeah, I mean, you've never built a website in your life.
It's true. It's true. I hire out to India.
Yeah. A person named India.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. The rock artist India Ari, I believe. No. Let's move on past that. What have you been up to? What are you drinking? Let's start there.
Because I'm sick. I'm not really feeling a lot more than and drinking things that make me feel like I'm hydrating, which means a beer.
You really? Know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why you're incredulous?
I mean, it's not the first stop I'd go if I were on the drink train. Like, it's not where I'd go if I were sick.
What do you mean?
But
where would you go?
I would go to water.
Well, I still need to get drunk, Chris.
That's true. It is a Saturday.
It is a Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, who am I to judge? So, bravo.
You're no one.
I'm a nobody.
You're a nobody. Not, compared to me?
Not God. Nobody. Not know-how.
No. You could
Internet's
have been a contender.
Joel Kelly. Yeah. Mm. Oh, well. I'm drinking tea.
Tea, yeah. Well, that would have been my guess.
Surprise.
Surprise. Chris is a weirdo.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to bring the show down.
Okay. Then don't.
I want it to be exciting, like we're known for.
Sure. We're known for the excitement, the energy, the fun, the pizzazz.
The pomp and or circumstance.
Yes.
But
you're going to bring it down.
Let's do that by focusing on you.
Yes.
You're leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today, actually.
Private plane.
Private plane, yes. I leave 2 weeks from today, which is kind of exciting.
Wow.
It's still kind of all... It hasn't really sunk in yet, but, you know, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're selling all your earthly possessions. I see that.
I'm selling many of my earthly possessions. Not all of them, just the ones that I don't really use and
or need. Do you think you're going to die on this trip, Chris?
No.
Hmm.
I just don't want as much here when I come
I know.
Back.
I guess just selling off all your things has a funereal vibe to it, you know?
Here's the thing. You're not the first person to say this.
I like to believe I am, but go on.
No, I've actually gotten this multiple times. In fact, I've gotten a couple of text messages and Facebook messages from people saying, hey, is everything okay?
Well, you scared everyone with that butt disease you had.
That's true. That butt disease was pretty intense.
So then when you started selling things immediately, but yet acting as if you were all better, it led a lot of us to believe that you were on your way out, and now you're sending yourself away to another country to, like, lay under a tree and just die, which I think is romantic, and certainly how I would choose to do it, but...
It'll make a great memoir.
Well, how are you going to write that?
I'm going to pre-write it.
Under the Tree.
Yes.
It's going to be called Under the Tree by Chris Van Patten.
Yes.
Chris Van Wilder Patten, as he wanted to be called.
I have no comment.
Chris Van Halen Patton.
Oh, that's getting better. Now Vangelis. We're moving to the right territory. We've got a question this week, which is unusual.
But seems unlikely. Let me double check. I think you must. Surely you're mistaken.
Believe it or not, no. We have it's a great question, too.
Okay, do you want to do the question song?
No. Do you?
Well, I thought you did the songs. You're the musical theater person.
How about we just dive right into this one?
How about I find a song on my phone that we'll have to pay rights for?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Here, just give me a second. I'm just going to find a... I'll just find a song on my phone. Here, I found it. I'll play this. Is it playing? Questions. Is that good?
I thought you had your own music podcast.
I had to stop that.
Right.
Before it started.
Right.
Right after it started. Then I, sure. I unstarted it. We talked about this weeks ago. Anyway... let's read this question, but let's go back and forth. I'll read a word, you read a word.
That's not going to happen. all right, so the question is from Michael, and he says, "Hey, guys.
Guys.
would you like to continue?
No, I'm doing every second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
My short question is
all right, you go. We'll do it in post.
Okay. My short question is this. Do you have any marketing tips for a business that, by nature, only operates in a small geographic area and offers a service that has very few repeat customers?
Did you think this was some sort of like assisted suicide program when you read the first line?
Well, I mean, that is what's on my mind these days.
These days.
You know? Selling off all my things, going off to Spain.
Yeah. It was the very few repeat customers. And before I connected it with the wedding vibe, I was like, oh, wow. There's an air of permanence.
Well, yeah, spoiler alert. This is actually, I'll keep reading.
Yeah, it becomes clear in the next sentence.
Sure. Clarification, my wife and I are wedding photographers.
There you go.
She handles the business full-time, and I have another full-time job. But they're nervous that some of our tips don't apply to their business. Interesting. So some more details. We have a website through SmugBug and a registered domain through Hover, which is mkm.photos. Very cool. I'm just starting into the world of Google Analytics. And having an email list doesn't make sense for clients who will only use our services once. My wife blogs our gigs and occasional tips, but we feel like we're trying to market to the whole planet rather than people within 50 miles. Being higher on Google rankings would be great, but there's a lot of competition, and the trade shows have been the only thing that helped us out so far. Do you think Google AdWords or Facebook might be a good way to spend our ad money since it can geographically target? What are your thoughts on website landing videos? So far, coffee shop and vendor networking have been fruitless. Interesting.
I got a bunch of notes, as you see. I think the first thing I'm gonna call Michael out on here is the dismissal of the email newsletter database without giving it a shot. Like,
yeah.
No. No. First of all, think about the value of having a database, which is, you know, being able to reach out to people and get referrals and build. One of my points is if you had an email database of people who've used your services, you can upload that email list to Facebook, build a lookalike audience that you can target ads to in your geographic area. It'll be very cheap since you're looking in one area. And that lookalike audience will obviously be based, you know, will be made up of people similar to those people, which are people who are probably getting married at some point or who know someone who is. So that's what I think you're missing a huge opportunity. So you need an email database. If you've done business with someone and haven't attempted to collect their email address, a mistake has been made. Basically, no matter what business you're in, unless it is something like, I don't know, if it's illegal, then perhaps you don't want to. But if you're an illegal enterprise, collect their email address, or at least try. There's a lot of things you can do with that.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think that I would also say to that, like, don't just limit it to people you've already done business
yes,
with.
Yes, yes.
I mean, right away, like, I think something that you could very easily do is put an email capture on your site, and then in MailChimp or whatever program that you're using, I don't think you...
MailChimp.
And put together an automation workflow and send somebody an email when they first sign up and say, here are your three must-haves when looking for a wedding photographer, whatever it is. And then, you know, over the next couple of weeks, every week on a specific day, send out another email to that person. You can automate this whole process. And it's referred to as like the marketing autoresponder. And you can, if you Google that, you'll find tips and tricks on how to set these up. But super valuable way to deliver somebody content that is relevant to your business and is going to keep you top of mind. And then, of course, when you have these potential customers in your email list, you can retarget to them by uploading that list to Facebook or Twitter and, you know, keeping your business top of mind. Now, obviously, that's an investment that you're going to make that once they do use your service and get married, then, like, that drops off a little bit. But all of a sudden, like, you're able
people
to use
people who
that.
Are getting married know other people who are getting married.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the big deal. And if you did a good service, you will get referrals. My wedding photographer was a referral from a friend because, you know, we were at their wedding and their wedding photographer seemed cool. We got in touch. Now two other people that are friends of mine are using the same wedding photographer. This is how this works. And if you don't have a Facebook page that you're not optimizing advertisements and posts towards, you got to change that. I don't know what SmugMug allows you to do as far as code injection goes, but put a retargeting tag on your website if you can, and Facebook will do the work. It'll target people who have been to your website when they come back to Facebook. So you're always top of mind. Yes, you said you've got lots of big competitors, but they don't have us, Michael. They're not getting this advice.
It's true.
So you're going to beat them.
You've taken the first step.
You've taken the first step, which was to admit that you needed our help.
Absolutely. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, I mean, I'm sure that with the trade shows that you're doing, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but there's definitely the possibility that you can buy email lists from those trade shows. I think that's a pretty common practice. Now, with those email lists, you have to be pretty careful in how you use those. Obviously, you don't want to... Certainly for the more strict email providers like MailChimp, you can't just upload it and start emailing them. But what you can do is put that list into Facebook and put that list into Twitter. And all of a sudden, you're building a big audience of people who are going to see your ads. And that keeps you top of mind. And that's super valuable.
And okay. And so we've got all these great tactics around this. I want to talk a little bit more about positioning. So some marketing 101 stuff that I hope... you're not going to be insulted by me going into, but I think it's important. So you're saying your big issue is that on Google, you've got more established competitors. What are they doing that you're not doing, or what are you doing that they're not doing? And if you can't think of anything, then perhaps wedding photography shouldn't be your business. Like, there should be something unique about you against your competitors, even if that's just price right now. Find out how you can position yourself. The easiest way for an unestablished business in a busy sector to get noticed is to position themselves in contrast to their competition. For instance, do your competitors, or at least the main ones that people have heard of, do overly stylized photos, and maybe you do stuff that's more photojournalistic, or vice versa? Are your big competitors people just capturing events, but they're not doing poster quality things that everyone's going to want framed? Start positioning your business as the, not the anti your competition, but different from. Because if your competition is well known and people know their style, all you have to say is, we don't do that style. And everyone goes, oh, okay, well, I know what they're talking about. So now I know this other business. You can't enter a crowded sector without in some way referencing the competition. Not necessarily by name, but in practice and what they do. Set yourself apart in some way. And again, like I said, if you can't think of a way that you're different from the competition, then maybe wedding photography isn't the business to be in, if there's no market for it. But I think there is. Do something that's unique and position yourself against your competition. So, let's give an example. You're targeting people on Facebook who are likely to either know someone getting married or getting married themselves. Your competition is famous for doing overly stylized, or at least some people consider them overly stylized, photos. Your Facebook post, targeted to people likely getting married in your geographic area, says something like, tired of seeing wedding photos that look like they're meant, you know, to be on posters and not in a photo album? Come to us. Something like that. Establish yourself as competition, as a business, and you'll go far.
Yeah. All right. I think that's a great way to start. Figure out what differentiates you, and the process really of figuring out what differentiates you, it can be a little tricky. I'm kind of going through that a little bit right now with Van Patten Media, just trying to figure out, you know, in the next evolution of what we do, like, what does that look like and why are we different? Why would somebody pick us? And I think that's ultimately the question. You have to approach it as a potential customer and say,
exactly,
what,
as the prospect,
exactly, like, looking at your business from an outside perspective, what makes it unique? Obviously, like you as the business owner, it's tricky because we're, as business owners, we're very sort of invested and we have specific ideas about what we do and why we're special. But if you're not able to clearly articulate that in like your short 1 minute elevator pitch, I mean, really, even like if you can't condense the unique value proposition of what you do into a tweet, you're not ready. You don't have it.
And all I can say is, if this is intriguing to you, you want to learn more, read the book Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind by Al Ries and Jack Trout. It is written by the guys who invented the concept back in the 70s. So read that. It gives you lots of practical ways to think about how to position your business. And you might just need some extra objectivity. You might need to maybe hire someone who works in marketing locally who can learn more about you, or send us a follow-up email and see if we can add more help. You might need someone to objectively research you and objectively research your competition and help you find that position. And then your advertising comes naturally from a position. Once you've established a position, you know exactly what to say in your advertising. If advertising is a struggle for you and you're not sure what to do, it means you haven't figured out what your position is yet.
Yeah. I would also add to this that I think you just briefly mentioned, but like getting somebody else in there who is objective, who's not from within your business, is incredibly valuable. And I'm doing that right now. I'm working with a friend and consultant to sort of have a little chat about an hour every week or so. And we're, you know, he's putting questions to me. I have to do some research during the week and come up with answers and things. But it's a very good way for me to figure some of this stuff out because I am so close to my own business. And I imagine the same is the case for you as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for someone like you, Chris, you know, a position for you might be, well, we're cheaper, we're smaller than the competition, all those things, but you don't want to think about your business in those terms. You want to be as great as the big guys. But that's the kind of thing where someone who's objective can actually, you know, point you in the right direction, because it's very difficult for you to get there on your own, especially if your position that's right for you and your business and to make money might be less prestigious than you want it to be. But remember, especially for you, Michael, if you're starting out, you work another full-time job. There's areas for growth here. Don't think that positions can't change. You at this point, you just want business. You want to do this full-time, I assume. So even if the position you take is less prestigious than your competition, if you're filling a gap, you'll get customers and you can always reposition once you're filthy rich.
I completely agree. But let's go back and let's get back into the tactical stuff. So let's assume that maybe you're already coming to us and you already know what your positioning is. You already know your value proposition. What are some other things that maybe aren't advertising that you might do, Joel, that would, you know, maybe help bring in some business or at least cultivate your current audience?
Yeah, I mean, that's stuff. I would see, I'm always going to think about advertising, but inbound marketing, content writing, so producing things like wedding photography tips or things like that you can give away that keep you top of mind as well. Think about what makes you unique as a person compared to another person. What is your expertise beyond photography? Well, you know all the wedding venues. You know the people who work there. you know who does the best flowers for the best price, because you're talking to all these couples getting married. They're spilling the wedding photographer. A good one is sometimes your best confidant, the person who you can talk to about everything, because they know everything about how a wedding goes, because they've seen a million of them. They know the process. Our wedding photographer, was honestly, she saved our wedding more than once by knowing so much about how weddings happen. That's your expertise beyond just taking photos, not to minimize that at all. So how can you be providing content that's useful? So when you do set up your email database, which you're going to do right after this podcast, start thinking about the content you can send out. Like, you heard that venue XYZ is having a special, or is changing their menu, or is working with a new partner. Check them out. You could actually businesses, help them get prospects and build leads because of your specialities and your expertise beyond photography.
I would also say that, two things that I'll say. First, I'll say, if you're writing a blog and not sending out those posts to your email list, that's like a huge win right there. So what I would say in this case, like, because your blog posts, I'm scrolling through them right now, are obviously very image heavy, that, you know, being what you do. One thing that you can do is maybe download the app. Oh boy, what's it called? The one with like the frames.
The one with the frames.
Hold on. Ah. Pickstitch. So Pickstitch like lets you assemble basically an image comprised of other photos, kind of like a mosaic or something like that. Put one of those together, put it in an email, and then link that picture to your blog post. Like, boom, you've got something that's kind of interesting. It's going to grab somebody on very early, and it gives them an opportunity.
And I'm actually on the topic of apps. I'm going to give away a pretty big trade secret here. A little website called Canva.com, Canva.com. We'll put it in the show notes. It's like Instagram, but for design. So you pick filters, you pick text, you pick layouts, and it does basically all the work. And yes, it's not going to be as good as what a professional designer could do, just like putting your crappy photo on Instagram isn't as good as what a professional retoucher could do. But it's close. So go to Canva.com and start making some images there. Put them in your blog post. Put them on your Facebook page. Put them in your email newsletters.
I would also say, I'm getting a little distracted, but actually, hold on, because you might already have this. Okay, you've got an Instagram. That's great. I would keep that up. I would be posting every day.
Add new pins.
Literally every day. Yeah, and that's a great way that you can use Canva. I'm looking at your Instagram now, and it does look mostly like your own sort of travel pictures and pictures of you and your wife, and that's all great, but like, man, you got to be posting samples of your work, right? Like, that could be hugely valuable to, you know, do a pick stitch of a recent wedding that you attended.
Oh, they are on Pinterest too.
Shop. Anyway.
Oh, no, couldn't find the page. Fix your Pinterest link as well.
Right. So fix that up and share more of your professional wedding work. So that's number one, or actually that's number two. But number three is going to these trade shows and being at these weddings. Like Joel said, like, you're going to start to get to know some of these other vendors, and you're going to start to get to know like who of these other vendors are interesting to you in the sense of who you might be able to work with. So I would absolutely, like, if any of these other vendors have blogs on their website, and if they have, you know, social media channels that they're promoting to, guest posts, man. Guest posts are such an amazing way to advertise, because they're effectively free, and they get you out to somebody else's audience. So, like, let's say that, you know, you're the photographer, and then there's, like, Jane Flower Girl, who prepares flower arrangements and stuff. Maybe you can pitch a blog post to Jane and say, we're going to share like the five ways that you can creatively use wedding flowers in your photography. I don't know, something like that. And then Jane can sort of come back to you with a blog post. Obviously, you want to reciprocate as much as you can here. Maybe, you know, the five most photogenic flower types. I don't know, something like that. And then you've just created and gotten two pieces of content that you each cross-promote, so it benefits everybody, and it gets all of everybody's work out to bigger audiences. I think guest posts are really underutilized, and I think it can be a really valuable way to get your stuff in front of new people.
Wonderful.
The other thing I would say, just, and this could be a whole other topic, but so I'll keep it brief, is that, like, if in-person stuff, if trade shows and things are working for you, that's great. Keep it up. Keep hammering into that and do more of that, because, like, I don't know, I think once you find a channel that's working for you, like, it can be very easy to get sort of impatient and get antsy, but, like, I don't know, that sounds like an option that you may want to explore. Like, are there other ways you can do in-person events, right? Like, maybe you team up with a local coffee shop and do, like, a photography 101 session, or, you know, whatever the case might be. Like, if in-person events are converting really well for you, lean into that and figure out new ways to leverage those in-person opportunities, or to create new in-person opportunities through your own events and your own hosted things.
Yeah, and you might need to get off SmugMug if it doesn't give you the opportunities to design this website a little bit more. Again, you're new or new-ish in a crowded sector. You need a name that's more recognizable. You need a brand that's more recognizable. You need an aesthetic on your website, on your Facebook posts, on your Pinterest that people can tell is you and not just another wedding photographer. I love your tag that you're on location, natural light. Wedding photographers, you've got your location in there. That's great. But I really think you need to work on the overall brand to set yourself apart. I know MKM, I assume that's your initials. I might be wrong about that, but I'm going to guess, that doesn't mean anything. And again, as you'll learn when you read Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind, it's really important. You're entering a crowded sector. You might want a fancy name with initials in it, but I don't think you can afford to do that. So think about that as well.
Yeah. I would also say that, I know that SmugMug can be really valuable for photographers. I used to use it myself. It's a really great service that makes it really easy to do a lot of photography management and stuff. But I do agree with Joel. Like, I think your website in general could really use a facelift. So maybe keep the SmugMug site as, like, a subdomain or, like, a subpath, like galleries.mkm.photos or whatever it is. And then your main site is, like, a really well-designed site. And you know, we've recommended it before. Squarespace is really great. I know WordPress.com has a number of templates that are targeted toward wedding type things. That might be worth checking out as well. So overall, like, you've got some good options to build something better. And that doesn't have to mean ditching the SmugMug site. It just means maybe putting it in a different place or as a link off of your main.
You really need, you need a map to tell people where you are. You need a brand. You need a bit of a facelift on the website. So if those things, I don't know enough about SmugMug to tell you whether that's the case. But yeah, I would start looking into Squarespace. Get the free trial and poke around. And I think you'll be impressed. So I hope we didn't sound too negative, but I really just think that you've got nothing but potential. You have by no means run out of things you can do to promote your business. So if we seem to pile on a bit there, it's because obviously we're enthusiastic and think there's lots you can do to get more business.
I would also emphasize that, like, there's a lot you can do that doesn't necessarily have to be advertising right away. In fact, I would save advertising until you've got some of these other things in motion, like more blog posts that you can share, more, you know, frequently updated and focused social media channels that are really about your business. I think the email list, obviously, like, I think there's a lot more that you can do before you start dipping into advertising. I think that day is definitely going to come. I think it comes for every business. If you're ambitious, like, if you want to get more leads, you have to go to advertising at some point. But I think there are a lot of fundamental things that you can do here that aren't going to be.
And I just want to say, I'm going through your blog now, and you've got a little logo, a little word mark. But that's not on your homepage. That's a problem. Fix that part. If you've started to establish a brand, your homepage should feel like that brand.
It's a really nice logo too.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's recognizable. It sets you apart. So you need to put that everywhere.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I hope that helps. As always, Michael, do not think because you asked us one question, you're banned for life. Please follow up with us. If you have more specific questions, like you say, we've convinced you to get an email database going, which I certainly hope we have, feel free to start on that and then write us again if you need more specific help. And anyone out there, if anything that we talked about sounds intriguing, please send us an email, and we're more than happy to give you some advice. notarealjob.com/questions.
One other really quick thing that just occurred to me, and I'll try to keep it brief because I know we're running a little long. You mentioned here that this sentence, I'll just read it. My wife blogs our gigs and occasional tips, but that feels like we're trying to market to the whole planet rather than people within 50 miles. I don't think marketing to the whole planet is such a bad thing, as long as you have very specific sort of intentions. Obviously, you only want to work within a certain geographical range. I think that's fairly obvious. But that doesn't mean that there's no value in sort of talking to the world, right? Like, it can establish you with other wedding photographers, which I can imagine, like, if they know somebody who's coming down to your area, like, then they'll know you and they'll be comfortable referring you. Can also help you build. Basically, I'll keep it short and say that, like, I think when you're marketing to your 50-mile radius, that's for people who are going to purchase your services. Marketing to the whole planet is building your professional network, which I think is just as valuable in the long term. Maybe somebody else that you connect with can share ideas. You can put together a mastermind call, which is like every week getting on the phone with three or four other people and talking about your businesses and the problems that you're facing. And building that network, I think, can be really valuable and another great way to continue to grow your business.
Awesome. Yeah. So, and Google knows where you are if you put enough information on your website. So don't worry about sending content out everywhere. People local to you will, your website will surface.
Yeah, it'll surface higher than others. Cool. So there we go. We just talked for a little while. Hope it's helpful, and do follow up with us.
I just want to say, so let's move on to gear picks, which is the part of the show where we give you things you should buy that we've bought recently. We only recommend things that we buy ourselves. Isn't that right, Christopher?
This is absolutely true.
So what's your pick of the week?
Oh, boy. Putting me on the spot. My pick of the week, is the Icebreaker Men's Lifestyle Ultralight Crew Stripey Socks. Now, to start off with, the pack that I got is no longer for sale on Amazon, which is a bummer. And I only got it a week ago, so they got rid of those pretty quickly. However, the wool sock will change your life. And that's what this is. This is a merino wool sock, which means it's a very soft sock, but it's also super light and super breathable in a way that cotton isn't. Like, I will, you know, be a little TMI and say, like, I've got a little problem with sweat. And obviously, like, in the winter, you're wearing some really heavy, thick boots that can get very hot very quickly. And then you can sort of take them off and be like, wow, my feet are drowning.
Mm, gross.
I have not had that problem with these wool socks. They're amazing. They're really easy to clean, especially great for travel where you might, you know, only want to take a few pairs at a time. These are super great because they don't get smelly. They don't get gross. I really highly recommend them. They are very expensive. The ones that we're going to link to are like $20 a pair, which is a lot, but I'm only bringing three pairs of these to Barcelona, and that's it. Those are the only three pairs.
And you're going to sell the rest.
And I'm getting rid of the rest. Check the notes for my eBay auction.
Gross.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I'm putting, but just back in the show notes, the book positioning I recommended on a previous show. But seriously, check it out. It's a great book. I am recommending another book, but don't worry, it's mostly pictures. Remember those great Volkswagen ads? That's right. There's like a coffee table book that collects over 450 of the classic Volkswagen ads from the 60s and 70s. And it's fantastic. There's a little bit of a foreword by some marketing guys from way back talking about the campaign. And it's amazing. So check it out. It's a little pricey. It's like $40 some, but it's like 600 pages of photos. It's amazing. So check it out. It's a great book. I love it. I have it on my desk at work, and everyone who comes in to my office, like, flips through it and loves it. So buy it.
There you go. Cool. And I think that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We really, really appreciate it. Where can you find us on the internet?
MKMphotography.photos. No, that's not even the right URL for their website. Notarealjob.com. twitter.com/JoelKelly, twitter.com/KristenPatton, twitter.com/NargeCast, facebook.com/NotARealJob, stitcher.com/...
Links on the website.
Links on the website. Slash links on the website.
And then also...
YouTube.
YouTube, yeah. We put up episodes of the show up on YouTube in full, and you can click on them using the little annotation boxes. So it's very easy to jump around to different segments of the show and share those with friends, which is always, always appreciated. And yeah, always, as always, please give us a star rating, or a 5-star rating, rather, on iTunes if you like the show. If not, then stop listening and yeah.
Tell no one.
We are at notarealjob.com/iTunes. If you're on a desktop, maybe even on an iPhone, that should automatically open up iTunes and pull up.
Who could say?
I've never tried it. I don't know.
I've never used an iPhone.
There you go. They don't have those in Canada, do they?
Nope. All still Blackberries up here.
But they do have the iPhone.
It's like the A phone.
The E-H phone.
Yeah, we pronounce that A.
The iPhone.
Yep.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you if you have rated the show. Get in touch with us. We love your comments. We love your feedback. We love your questions.
We love your notes of get well soon, Joel.
Indeed, we do. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye forever.